This basic presentation is about testing GNOME accessibility. There are co-authors to this, Hema Sitaramaya and Mukta Narayan. They're not here, they're back home. So I'm here to do the presentation. GNOME accessibility is an important feature, but it's often under-tested. You always hear, I guess, Bill saying, come on, keep testing it. So let's find out ways how we can help users and developers both to start testing accessibility better. There are varied reasons for this. Complex test setup. Do we know what all we need to turn on to actually get accessibility working? Tools are still developing. That's good, actually. And the initial learning curve. Is there a bar of entry that's high to test GNOME accessibility? You know, what all would the user need to know to test accessibility? Is there a mindset in the user that I need to know a lot of things before I can actually make some meaningful contributions to testing accessibility? Let's try to lower the bar. Yeah, a comprehensive test guide, I guess, can set the ball rolling. The scope of this paper is testers and users and developers as well. We'll be probably covering ATPoke as a good tool for developers to test accessibility initially when they're developing their applications. And the focus of this paper or presentation is testing from the application and desktop perspective. We are not looking at testing the framework or the AT tools themselves. That's out. Oh yeah, and the goodies are test setup, you have a test aim, you need, and result interpretation and test cases are all present in this paper. When's an app accessible? You need to have keyboard compliance. That's the first thing. And you need to see that there are theme compliance as well. That's font, color, and size. All need to be configured. There are different users who need such a feature, and we should provide that. You know, we came out with a simple formula saying that use the stock widgets, and when you use them, don't tweak, don't hardcore, and what you would get is key navigability and theme compliance. So basically, don't hard code anything in an application. And then we have mouse interaction, sound, and common principles. As, for example, sound. We are in a noisy environment, and we get a mail. And if the mail indicates the arrival, its arrival only through sound, then we have a problem. It's not that it's a functional impairment, but it's a situational well as well. Okay, just continuing on that, we have ATK. Provides interfaces, and what's ready-made available is GNOME, the GAIL. The ATK interfaces are implemented in GTK. So when you use them, you automatically get accessibility. And what needs to be done? Suppose if you're using custom, I think Warwick, as they covered in this presentation of what needs to be done when you have custom widgets there, you need to actually implement those ATK interfaces that are available. Now coming to the testing as such. We're trying to understand where the complexity lies. Where do we need to structure it? And we came up with this classification. We said, based on the complexity, we classified as simple testing and tool testing. And based on the tester, who's testing it? The user testing and developer testing. What comprises of simple testing would be key navigability and theme compliance. You don't need to do anything extra. All you need to have is a GNOME, default GNOME setup, and you can actually test accessibility with respect to key navigability and theme compliance. So that's pretty much a simple testing. And then we classify it as tool testing. You need to have ATs with you. So what extra do you need when you want to use the ATs? So that's one classification. Coming to some of the nuggets here. You need to get these themes if they are not coming default. So this is the place for where you can get those to test accessibility and to test the theme, sorry, and to turn accessibility on. This is where the tool testing comes into picture. You need to set GNOME underscore accessibility one in your user profile or use the GConnect tool. What would this do is that when you run an application after turning it on, the bonobo stuff of the accessibility, the GAIL, and the ATK stuff are all loaded. So the accessible information will pass through to the ATK. Okay. that's where the complexity in the previous slide where I was explaining the different types. This is where the tool testing is. There are certain dependencies. And for example, for Gunopanikas, you need to have a speech in file, and festival needs to be there. 2.4, I guess, they're going to be bundled together, so it's not going to be a major problem. And the 82s themselves, so they're also there in 2.4, right, Bill? Okay. Okay. A simple test case for key navigability. We just classified this as simple and user. Accessibility can be off. You don't have to have that. When you look at an example of spin button, check box, these are the keys that need to be working for you. So a user can always test this. You would notice a key underscore 065 and key underscore 066. We are the test assertions, and they are in the paper. We probably want to put it up later on in the test, in the developer.gunov.org. So those keywords correspond to those test positions. For example, here you use the horizontal key to move forward and backwards in the entry field that a user can, a normal user without accessibility on, could actually test this. So you could find bugs. For example, if he doesn't find it working, it's my problem. Vertical arrow keys should increase or decrease the value by one. If it doesn't, find a bug. Testing of team compliance. If you notice here, you have the button on right on top on the left window. You see a no icon, but it's sort of cut off. You know, the font was increased, but then the button itself didn't resize. That's probably because it's hard coded in the program, maybe a GTK size request, and that overwrite the GTK RC file. And so this is something that you should be looking out for when you're testing theme compliance. Here. Okay. One more example. Here we have a workspace switcher. I'm not sure how many are there. So, this is one of them you should be looking out for. You probably we need to, you know, use the white color to distinguish each of the workspaces. Getting to the 80s themselves, Gunopanikas. This tool, as Bill yesterday in his talk was provided, saying that, you know, this is for people who are visually impaired. And what all it provides? It provides speech synthesizer, magnifier, and braille. You have this. We back at home, we tested speech synthesizer, and that's probably the screenshot out here. There are these input-output settings, which will have internally speech settings, so you could actually configure your speech settings through this particular dialog here. It's a simple test case for Gunopanikas. It's a tool testing, it's user testing, so anybody can test it. Accessibility need to be turned on. Okay. An example would be a menu. On traversing a menu, Gunopanikas should read out all the menu items, and it should also read the shortcuts or the escalators and availability, whether it's enabled or disabled. If this is not there, then there's a problem for the visually impaired. Yeah. If you take push button, for example, it should speak of the name, it should speak of the shortcut key. I guess for the previous one, if you open file, it'll tell you all what are there under that specific menu. So, for example, GA, open, new, save, save as, and for example, save as could be disabled because you've not done anything. This is GOK, on-screen keyboard, the another 80. It provides menu, compose keys, word prediction. And this tool, 80, is for who have physical impairments. So, for example, if you take menus, get into any application, click on the menu of that. You will actually see buttons on the screen which are menu items. So if you're able to actually click on each one of them, the specific menu item is enabled. And the compose key. Open Gedit, for example, and you could actually use the mouse and get through, or you have some tool, right? And there's also word prediction, I guess. What is this talking about? Invoke Gedit, click on the text area, click on the compose button, and select the required keys on screen, but characters should appear on Gedit text area. It's the same thing, I guess my graphics card is gone bad. So. It's just that the screenshot is about the calculator and the menus here. This is the menu example where the exit stuff is embedded in the GOG. So you could actually use that to manipulate the menus of the calculator. We are discussing here about ADPOC. This is probably a good tool to test the accessible information that's getting from the application through to the AT. At the development stage, you may not use the AT itself to test the accessibility, level of accessibility. You could use ADPOC to test it. Okay. What you need to do, you probably had get from GNOME CVS, build it, and the ADPOC requires Gale, ATSPI, and ATK. So you say to start the application, start ADPOC. Now, application should be listed in the window. And you can select the application, click on POC, and it gives you a widget hierarchy. And then you start browsing for each of the widgets and seeing whether it's testing its accessibility. A simple test case here would be entry. On right top corner, you would see relations and relations case where it's labeled by text to copy. So the entry has been labeled. So this specific information will be read out, for example, by GNOME Panicus to the user. So this is something that it specifies what are the ATK interfaces that have been implemented. So you could actually validate at first level itself what sort of accessibility work has been done. So that's very, and the states, editable, enabled, focused. I just told you a couple of slides back where GNOME Panicus, for example, will read out the state of the widget, whether it's enabled or not. Okay, so this could help you to determine that. And there's a caret offset. If I'm not wrong, although I've not gone into the GNOME Panicus code as such, when offset position is zero, I guess GNOME Panicus would read the whole world for you. Right? And when it is at a specific number, it will actually read the character. So, just use the caret offset and see if it actually moves, if the cursor actually moves. So you could actually test that. You could actually confirm that GNOME Panicus would actually read it for you. You don't have to actually use GNOME Panicus, but yeah, it works for you. Let's take push button. Select the push button from the list displayed on the left of the ADPOC and click on grab. Just see that whether the grab actually happens or not. And you'll get a relationship there controlled for. It's probably controlled for starting a folder entry, for example. It's for selecting a folder entry. So there's a browse button associated with the file selector. It's a combo box rather. And you could use the browse button to put whatever data you want. I think I did pretty quickly here. The point here is that the user will have to make a judgment call on what's accessible and what's not. You know, when he uses the AD tools, for example, he needs to see whether the information present is accurate, the complexity is there, whether the information is present but it's not accurate, the information has complexities and insufficient information, for example. And this is something you can't automate probably. Okay. Going forward, what we are looking at is, it's a small step to define accessibility testing. Assertions are available. We have written down the assertions, whatever we call. And probably from in say developer.gnome.org, we have a space where it's exclusively stage testing. Okay, and from there we move on. You know, I guess today it's embedded somewhere in the developer docs. The testing, manual testing. I think Callum and Bill have done a lot of work on KeyNav and theme compliance and put it. But when would a user or a tester go and get into that and grab it out? You know, probably we need a structure where we put it at a higher level and classify it so that, you know, I don't know, today I'm not probably confident enough for doing the 80 testing, but I could still do KeyNav and theme compliant testing. So probably we should facilitate the user to do that. Okay, that's the first step. And then we move on. And then maybe he gets confidence and then he does 80 testing as well. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Am I live now? Great. The blue theme of death that tries to turn everything blue, and if your app is fully theme compliant, then your screen will be completely blue, and where it isn't blue is a bug. So that's an excellent theme to test with. I highly recommend it. I also suggest that whenever you're doing accessibility testing, even if all you're doing is testing KeyNav, turn the accessibility flag on. There are code paths that only get exercised with that key on. So if you can stand the performance hit, which may be slight or significant depending upon your app, I suggest that for all testing, have that key on, as it will add code paths. And if your app is significantly slower with that key on, that's probably a bug too. The Gnopernicus testing that was discussed here is primarily in response to focus events or other KeyNav events that the user is generating. That's one of the two ways of a blind user using Gnopernicus. The other way is in what's called screen review. It's really, really cool. It allows you to navigate left, right, top to bottom over anything in a window. And this is a very good test to run at some point because you can find areas that you can't get to with screen review, in which case that too is a bug. For goth testing, the window that's there are several dynamic keyboards that come up, and these keyboards, for instance, are not only all of the menus, but any object that implements accessible action. So buttons, anything that can be selected, hyperlinks, these are all very important things to provide a physically disabled user more rapid access to your GUI. So when you're thinking about making your app accessible, you should be looking out for that as you are testing with Goth. If you have a very complex app, something like a spreadsheet or a full-fledged word processor or anything like that, there are probably going to be interesting situations that come up. I highly suggest that you contact the members of the GNOME accessibility team for thoughts and advice on complex situations, because in some cases we may actually want to extend the accessibility API. Certainly you may be running into situations that aren't well documented, and so asking the experts is appropriate. Finally, I highly urge you all to use Glade for creating your user interfaces. There's a lot of nice things that you get from Glade, including a nice accessibility panel that allows you to specify things like relationships, names, descriptions, etc. So I hope it was okay to spew that long list of additional things to think about when you're testing. Thanks.
Yeah. AT Poke in the developer tools thing as well. Is there a desktop item entry for it? It makes it much more visible.
Yeah, we're going to get all the test assertions that we've done. I think you can put it there. And going forward, I think we probably should be encouraging people, you know, once they read that and they go back, they test, they come back. I guess we get more assertions. I'm quite sure that, you know, when they find bugs and when you actually look through those bugs, you would find that you didn't cover that for whatever reason. You know, you could keep on updating these docs. We could do that. I mean, we could actually give the steps there, you know. We could actually mention what needs to be done there for testing or as well, normal usage as well, you know.
Yeah.